My dear brother bishops, my dear brother priests, brother deacons, fellow religious, members of God's holy faithful, the wives and families of those to be ordained deacons, and most especially the candidates for ordinations themselves. We gather together under the authority of the Word of God this morning to celebrate an important moment in the life of the Church, as well in the life of our brothers who will be ordained deacons. I say we gather under the authority of the Word of God because the Word of God guides us and guides the life of the Church in our self-understanding. And I'd like to use the bulk of my time for reflection this morning to talk simply about the first reading from the Old Testament, from the Jewish Bible, from the book of Numbers. It's rare that we hear a reading from this part of the Bible, and there's lessons for all of us here, whether we're bishops or priests or deacons, members of the lay faithful. So let's look at this reading from the book of Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, "Summon the tribe of Levi and present them to Aaron, the priest, as his assistants." Who was Levi? Levi was one of the sons of the patriarch Jacob. He was the third son. And this tribe of the Jews was set aside, another word for setting aside is consecrated, as the clerical tribe of the Jewish people for purposes of worship and religious instruction. They were set aside from all the people of God to be the ones focused on worship and the teaching of the Scriptures. They had famous members as part of the tribe. Moses himself was a member of the tribe of Levi, as was his brother Aaron. And the reason they were chosen for ministerial service was because of their zeal. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Old Testament and the story of God giving the Jewish people the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. The story tells us that Moses was led by God to the top of the mountain where God appeared to him and gave him the Ten Commandments. But it took a very long time for God to accomplish his goal. Somewhat like the long period of time set aside to train the deacons, perhaps, in the minds of their families. And so the Jewish people got restless, and they began to lose confidence in God. And Aaron, who was Moses' brother, gathered them together and asked for their gold. And he took that gold and melted it down and formed a golden calf around which the people danced and honored as God. Can you imagine that? Honoring gold as God. We do that ourselves sometimes in a different kind of way. Well, anyway, when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, he was very angry at this betrayal of God by the Jewish people. And he screamed or yelled out to those gathered around, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me." And members of the tribe of Levi immediately came to his assistance in order to promote worship of the true God. And from that time on, the members of the tribe of Levi were chosen to lead worship, to honor God in a unique and special kind of way. And when the promised land was divided up among the Jewish people, some of it went to the tribe of Judah, some of it went to the tribe of Joseph, some of it went to the tribe of Manasseh, and none of the land went to the Levites. And the reason for this is because their share, their portion, wasn't land and possessions, but was the Lord. Their portion was the Lord. And that's the story of the formation of the tribe of Levi as those who helped with worship, who were the priests of the community, and who led people to God. And right from the beginning, there was a threefold structure in this organization for worship. Aaron was chosen as the high priest, his sons were the priests of the community, and the Levites, the other members of this tribe of Levi, were set aside to assist the high priest and the priests in acts of worship. Now, before the incident of the golden calf, the Jewish people understood that the firstborn of every family would be set aside in a special way as belonging to God. After the event of the golden calf, the tribe of Levi was chosen as substitutes for the firstborn son of the family. It's very interesting. You know, that God expected every family to have a priest to lead the family in worship, and that was the firstborn son. But after the event of the golden calf, God set aside a special group within the community to lead the people in worship. So, that's the history of the Levites, which are closely associated with our understanding of the role of deacons in the church. You know, in our community, in the Catholic community, the Sacrament of Holy Orders, which is the Sacrament of Ordination, is divided into three parts, like among the Jewish people. Some are chosen as bishops, the high priest of the community, like myself. Others are chosen as priests, like the pastors of your various parishes. And others are chosen as deacons to assist the high priest, the bishop, and the priest at the altar and in the proclamation of God's holy word. So we continue in the church today that structure that we discover all the way back to the formation of the Jewish people. And there are four characteristics of the quality of ministry of the Levites that I would like to now share with my brothers who will be ordained as deacons this morning. So I'm going to turn from you and I'm going to face them. My dear brothers, what are the qualities that we see in the Old Testament book of Numbers and the whole Old Testament regarding the Levites whose place you take in our church today? The verbs that are used in the book of Numbers to describe the activity or purpose of the Levites were the following. They were to care for the things that belong to God. They were called to tend to God's worship. They were called to assist the priests and the high priest. They were to take down and put up the tabernacle, which was the tent where the Jewish people encountered the presence of the living God. So you can see all that they were doing was a matter both of service and of worship. Service to the tabernacle, which was the place where people met God, and service to the Torah, which was God's holy word given to God's holy people. The role of the deacon in the church today is much the same. You're called to serve, right? And to serve after the model of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, and even to give his life as a ransom for the many. So you're called to serve the church, not just its buildings, although that might be important in a particular way because your pastors will want you to do that, but most importantly, to serve the living stones of the church, which are the people of God. And as the Levites had responsibility to protect and care for the Torah scrolls, the scrolls of which the Word of God was written, you will have a responsibility to care for the Holy Scriptures, which we believe are the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, present in our community today. So, love the church and love the Scriptures and form your life around them. A second characteristic of the Levites in the Old Testament is that they were to be the guardians of the boundary between what was holy and what was common. Now, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, the word holy does not mean to be pious or to be sweetly sentimental in the way you pray. To be holy means to be other than the world around us. The world around us was seen as the common world, and the things of God were seen as holy, other than what's common. And the Levites had the responsibility of guarding the boundaries between one and the other, between the common and the holy, between what was clean and what was unclean, between what was sinful and what was righteous. My dear men to be ordained as deacon, you have that responsibility in the church because of your ordination as deacons. To protect what's holy. You know, this is a dimension of the life of the church that in some ways we have lost or are losing today. In some ways, the life of worship is just like anything else. Our churches aren't even seen as sacred as they used to be seen. We speak casually about the things of God. And even in the translation of the scriptures, we see this development, because instead of in the sacrament of confirmation, for example, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit was traditionally translated as it's supposed to be translated, as the fear of the Lord. But we translated that to mean wonder and awe in God's presence, because there was something about the fear of the Lord that put us off. But the Levites, the Jewish people as a whole, but the Levites in particular, were called to make sure that we take God seriously and not casually. And that's what it means to guard the boundary between what is holy and what is common. To take God very seriously. In your personal lives, of course, which is most important, but also in the life of the church. And so the way you conduct yourself when you proclaim the scriptures, the way you conduct yourself when you assist at the altar, should be a lesson to all of us in the church that this is to be taken seriously, because we are dealing with the presence of the Holy Lord our God, who is other than us and other than what is common and ordinary. Make that your responsibility as you serve the church as a deacon. Another characteristic of the ministry of the Levites in the Old Testament was they were to be mediators between what is holy and what is common. In other words, they were to bring what is holy into the ordinary life of people, and they're supposed to bring the ordinary life of the community near the holiness of God. So you're supposed to be mediators between what is holy and the world around you. You do that by the example of your personal lives, by becoming holy, which doesn't mean pious, although it's good to be pious too, but it means to be other than everyone else, you know, in the sense that you belong to God, and everything you're about is about God. Life tomorrow when you're a deacon should be different than life today when you aren't. I mean, there's something about being set aside by God for this role in the community that should be marked by a life of mediatorship, that you bring people to God, you bring the world to God, and you bring God closer to the world, that you be mediators of the holy in the lives of the people of our church. And the fourth and final characteristic I'd like to focus on from the Old Testament regarding the life of those who were Levites was that they were, in some kind of unique way, substitutes for God's holy people. I mentioned earlier that after the incident of the golden calf, the Old Testament no longer talks about the firstborn son being the priest of the family, but that responsibility has been given to those who serve the community as Levites, as priests, and as high priests. Somehow they substitute for the firstborn son. Now, this could be taken in the wrong kind of way, in the sense that the people of God no longer have to worry about anything. You're going to take their place. You're going to do the praying for them. You're going to do the holy acts of being holy and serious about God for them. And that's not what it means at all. What it means is that you are called by God, by your vocation, to be in the church as a sacrament or sign of where all of us are supposed to go. You know, we refer to the ordination as you're being raised up in the church, which doesn't mean to make you higher. It means to make you public, that you are supposed to, by the way you live and what you say and all that you do, you're supposed to symbolize the vocation to which all of us are called because of our baptism. In today's gospel, when Jesus talks about the quality of service that should characterize the ministers of the church, he says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many." The word ransom means substituted for the others, right? I mean, if someone is captured by a group of criminals and they want some money, they ask for a ransom, which means you give them money to take the place of the person. Money substitutes for the person that they captured or kidnapped, right? Jesus tells us that he came to give himself as a ransom for the many, for all of us. He has taken our place on the altar of the cross. And those who are called to be deacons in the church, and my brother priests, remember that you're also deacons. And I remember as a bishop that I'm also a deacon. We give our lives as a ransom for the many. That doesn't mean you don't have to do it yourselves. It means that we focus that responsibility by offering our whole selves, everything that we have, as belonging to God. And that's why we can say of the deacons and the priests and the bishops in the church today that our portion is the Lord more than anything else. So, we have a lot to learn from the clerics of the Old Testament as we try to be faithful clerics of the new covenant established by Jesus Christ by his death on the cross in his resurrection from the dead. So, this is a serious moment. You should be in fear and trembling. Not because you're nervous about what people will think, but because you are being set aside by God for an awesome, awesome responsibility. May the Lord bring to completion the good things he begins in your life today.